Hello, you guys, and welcome to the Inner Growth Podcast. I'm your host, Carolina. I am so excited that you're listening today, and I am truly so honored to be here in the studio today in New York City with Tam Kaur, one of my amazing friends who has been on the podcast before, and this is her second time on the show. She is a self-development YouTuber, an author, and just an amazing content creator, manifester, and baddie, and I'm just so excited to have you on the show again and to get to pick your brain, so welcome.
Thank you so much for having me again. I can't wait to see everything we're going to dive into.
Yes, me too. And I asked you this before when we were on our way here, but what's your sun, moon, and rising?
I'm a Libra sun, an Aquarius moon, and a Cancer rising.
I love that. Yeah, it's interesting because you talk a lot about like feminine energy and you have like a sign that's ruled by the moon and a sign that's ruled by Venus in that big three, which is the Libra and the Cancer.
Oh, yeah. See, I know what they are, but I don't know what they mean or much about it. So...
Yeah, I was going to ask if you connect with your astrology.
I think Libra for sure. Like I've read up a lot on, you know, Libras are social butterflies and they're definitely fashionistas as well. And mm-hmm. I think any of the Libras I connect with, we are literally the same. But when it comes to my moon and my rising, I'm not too sure what that means.
Okay. I mean, with the Aquarius also, I feel like that's the side of you that's like very organized and like able to like structure your thoughts and like likes backing things up. And Aquarius is so tied to like our dreams and our visions and like our big kind of aspirations. So I think that being a part of your chart also is like
a very powerful
integration with all of the rest. So love that. And on today's episode, I really want to dive into success and your own personal journey. And then we can kind of dive into how can anyone listening activate their own success in a new way and just get beyond their own blocks and their own limiting beliefs and kind of like how to become this high value woman that owns their worth and goes after what they want. And I think the coolest thing is that we have known each other for a while, like through social media. And then this is the first time that we're hanging out in real life here in New York, which has been such a cool experience. And we've gotten to see each other evolve so much as creators, as entrepreneurs, as all of that. And it's just been so special. And last time that you were on the podcast, we were both starting to go more all in on YouTube and you have just knocked it out of the park. Like you just hit a home run and it's been so cool to just get to support you as you've basically blown up on YouTube in like the coolest way. So can you share a little bit about your journey, where you started and how you got here, just for us to kind of start the podcast off?
First of all, thank you. That was so sweet. Yeah. So I've been doing YouTube for a few years. I don't think I was very consistent. I was studying, I was in university. So I was stuck at around 2,000 subscribers for around 3 years. But YouTube has always been my passion. I've loved editing and video creation and also being in front of the camera. So I just kept at it. And then I graduated, decided I didn't want to go into a traditional work, and content creation was truly my passion. So I decided to do this thing called burn the boats, which is where you don't have a plan B, you go all in on plan A, because the pressure and the stress of I don't have anything to fall back on makes you work 10 times harder. And it really gave me that motivation and push every single day. But also, if you do have all of these other plans to fall back on, you're not really believing yourself in where you could get to with plan A, which is what you actually want to do. So I gave myself 6 months. I was like, if this doesn't work in 6 months, I'll go and I'll apply to jobs. And I moved back in with my family and I was trying every single day. And I was doing so much research on, you know, the algorithm and how to get more views and what my content plan should be and how to really stand out in my niche, which is self-development for women. And I ended up going from 2,000 subscribers to 100,000 in 3 months. And then 100,000 to 1 million in 1 year. So it's crazy.
That's wild. Yeah. And I really think that what you said about the burn the boats approach, I have actually never heard anyone frame it in that way. But I feel like that is also such a big reason why you were able to see this like exponential growth, because you were like, I know this is what I want. And yes, you were signaling to the universe, just like, this is what I want, universe. We're going all in. Give it to me. I'll take the action. Meet me halfway.
Yes.
So I absolutely love that. And when we were having lunch a couple days ago, I asked you a really good question, and I think it would be really powerful for us to talk about it again today, which is, as you had this growth and all these things start to change in your life, in your finances, in your reality overall, how did you adapt your subconscious to be like, okay, this is my new reality, and not self-sabotage? Because a lot of the times when change happens so fast, you don't give your brain enough time to be like, okay, I deserve this. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people fall to that upper limit and then start self-sabotaging. So how has that been for you?
So I think before I go into that, it's worth saying that that was something I did prior, which is I was so clear about my goals and I was really big on vision boarding and visualization. When you're going towards this path of success and you want all of these results, I believe that you have to plan for it and I believe you have to see it before it comes true. And then when it does, you don't have as much of an upper limit problem because you're like, I deserve this. This was always coming to me. And so I had like the YouTube plaque on my vision board. And even though I had 2,000 subscribers and I had no growth, I wouldn't let that get to me because every single night before bed, I would envision myself being a successful YouTuber, being someone who was financially comfortable, who could do influencing full time. And so when it came, I was like, I've seen this reality before. So this isn't even
coming.
There you go. This was already familiar to me because I made it familiar. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, when you grow, there are also unexpected things that happen. So like getting recognized on the street and you're like, what, me? Like other people want a photo with me or other people are messaging me saying that my content has resonated with them. And I found myself being shocked at the start. And I realized that that was going to be really bad for my growth because it meant that I wasn't fully in this new space in my life. I was still resonating with who I used to be. And that was holding me back. And I found as well, not even in my career, but also in my confidence journey, I was like in my 20-year-old body, my 21-year-old body, but I still saw myself as my shy 15-year-old self. Mm-hmm. And that's what was holding me back because other people could see my potential, but I couldn't. And so when that was coming out in my career, I thought I just have to change the way I speak to myself. And of course, you're going to be comfortable and you're going to fall into old patterns. And your first instinct is going to be, oh my God, how did I get here? Mm-hmm. Or, oh my God, this is crazy. And that's absolutely fine. Like you shouldn't beat yourself up for thinking like that. But I just consciously chose, I deserve this. Of course people resonate with my content. I put such hard work into it. Of course I'm meant to be here. There is no one else who could do this job as well as I would. I deserve to be in this space at this time and taking up as much space as I want to.
Yes. Wow, you just said so much that I'm wrapping my head around. But I think two things that really resonated with me is what you said about kind of like falling into your teenage self a little bit throughout the process, and also the power of like visualizing and getting really clear. So I want to talk about those two things. But it's interesting because the concept of like your teenage self getting in your way came up for me like 2 days ago in a conversation, in the sense of like a lot of the times when people are like, oh, I'm so scared of what people are going to say, or are people going to judge me or whatever. A lot of the reasons that we have those fears is because when we were younger, like teenagers or even younger than that, kids are ruthless. They're mean. They like bully each other and they like will say really mean things without thinking about it. And then our subconscious stores that, and that fear of like, oh, if I do XYZ, I'm going to get bullied, or I'm going to lose love, or I'm not going to be liked, or I'm not going to have friends. So I do think that's an interesting kind of like correlation there. So how did that come up for you? Like the teenage self, and what was coming up when you were starting to fall into that kind of way of talking to yourself?
I think I realized my outer expression had changed. So for so many years, I was shy, couldn't talk to new people. Like I was the opposite of how I am now. And when I tell people this, they're genuinely so shocked. They're like, what do you mean? I could not imagine you not being this way. But I was super introverted and I was such a loner. And then I had enough. So I went to university and I like faked it till I made it. And I put on this extroverted front and like tried to develop characteristics that I wanted to have. And it worked. Like I developed such great social confidence and I could talk to anybody and I felt more comfortable in myself. I no longer like hid my face when someone was taking a picture of me. And so I had that growth, but I feel like my actual inner identity hadn't caught up and I was still identifying with my past limiting beliefs. And that's what I saw myself as. And so that's kind of where I was falling. I heard this quote and I think about it every single day and it's truly changed everything for me. Wake up in the morning like it's the first day of your life. Every single day, act like it's the first day of your life. Because what is the point in looking back in the past and bringing in all of this baggage, all of these past insecurities? They don't exist. It's got nothing to do with today. And as soon as I wake up and I'm like, this is the first day of my life, and I am bringing in all of the knowledge and all of the wisdom I've gathered up until this point, but none of the negative stuff. And so if it's the first day of your life, as who you are now, as your most confident self, how would you act and how would you talk without worrying about, oh, but last year I did this embarrassing thing, or the other day I failed at doing this thing? That's not even something to consider. And that allowed me to finally like catch up to who I was growing into.
Yeah. Wow. I never had heard that before. And I love that. And that's a very evolved expression of your Cancer energy, because like all Cancers, and I know a lot of Cancers, get so caught up in the past and like in the emotions of the past and in the baggage and in the grief. And that can really be an area of growth for anyone with Cancer placements. And you have really found a way to just like work through that a little bit. So I'm really proud of you for that. That's amazing. And let's dive into the vision boarding, the manifesting techniques that you used. So your guide to vision boarding, visualization, like what are your favorite tools? What does that look like for you when you're planning out the vision?
Yeah, I've definitely improved. So I feel like my most recent vision board that I've made for this year is probably my best because I put more thought into it. So I spend a lot of time photoshopping as many images as I can just to enhance my visualization abilities. So I put the gold million subscriber YouTube plaque on my vision board this year. And I like scribbled out whoever's name was on it that I found on Google Images and I put mine on there. And that's literally going to be arriving now next week.
Very fast manifestation, not even halfway done through the year.
I know, I put that on in January. What month are we in? May. So there you go. And then I'll find pictures of women doing public speaking and I'll literally cut out a tiny little image of my head and put it on theirs. But also, I think it's really important that your vision board should not be aesthetic. It might end up being that way, but the number one priority should be this accurately represents where I want to go. So like I want to do angel investing, for example, and I have a super ugly picture of the definition of angel investing because that resonates with me and that's the direction I want to go in, rather than a super aesthetic Pinterest picture that represents other people or acts more of a mood board than a vision board.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So when you're going to go make the vision board, do you like journal before? Do you outline, okay, these are the things I want to put on it? Like what's your process?
Oh, yes. I love this because very organized. So I just use my notes app in my iPhone. And so let's say you could do a vision board over the span of 5 years, the next 10 years of your life. I've just done 1 year for 2024. In my notes app, I'll put 2024 goals and then I do different headings. So financial goals, personal goals, like spiritual, relationship goals. So that's family, friends, you know, where do I want to be in my relationship? Career goals. And then I like to do my materialistic goals as well. So like I want a Chanel bag or I want this or I want to take a first class flight, that kind of thing. And then I'll do bullet points under each and every one. And then I'll go to Pinterest or Google Images or like a magazine, get the images that align with each of those goals, print them off, get a poster board. And then I kind of group together each of the categories of goals on the vision board as well. So then it's easier to visualize. Mm-hmm. So like my travel goals are in one and my career goals are in another. But also that list is so important because I reference that always. And I think people make the mistake of, I'm going to write out all these resolutions. And then they get halfway into the year and they're like, oh my God, why did I not get to any of it? Because you forgot and you're going to, unless you're actually making an active and conscious effort to look at that and think, what am I going to do today to work towards that? So every Sunday I plan ahead my week and I actually look at my resolution list. And I think, okay, well, I have this meeting and this event and whatever's going on right now. I have an hour spare on Friday. What in my resolutions list can I work towards?
Mm-hmm. And then what about the vision board? How frequently do you look at it? Do you do visualization meditations or do you just like spend time looking at it and absorbing it? What do you do?
I try my best every morning when I'm like eating my breakfast or drinking my matcha. I have it in my living room where I can always see it. So I'll really stare at it and I'll take it in. I think the most powerful manifestation tool is trying to match the feeling you think you're going to have when you get the thing. I don't know if that made sense.
Yes.
So like if you think I want this first class flight because it's going to make me feel successful and like I've made it, you can feel that now because you are the decider of your emotions. So I really try to do that. And I also try to incorporate gratitude when I'm like consciously staring at it. I'm grateful for my life as it is. And I don't need any of these things, but they are going to come to me. And then when it comes to visualization, I like to do it when I fall asleep at night. So I'll get into bed, I'm closing my eyes, I'm trying to sleep. And I am playing my ideal life out like a movie in my head. And that's what helps me fall asleep. But it also helps me wake up on the best vibration first thing in the morning.
Yeah. Okay, so staring at the vision board, focusing on gratitude, detaching.
Yes.
That's hard, but that's so important with manifesting. You're just like, either way, I'm good.
Yeah.
Either way, I'm fine and everything's amazing, but it would be so cool if this came in and it's going to come in and I know it and I don't have to control how. And just kind of being in that energy and then having it written out and tuning back into that like weekly.
Yes.
Or more frequently than you otherwise would. And then visualizing your ideal day, ideal life as you're falling asleep.
That's it.
And do you do that every night?
Or almost every night. Yeah.
Yeah. I think when you're that consistent, it's so powerful.
Yeah. And then it's like, I'll get my thing and I'm like, it was going to happen. So many people recently have been asking me, how does it feel to get to 1 million subscribers? And I'm like, great. But I think a lot of people would expect me to say, oh my God, like I can't believe it, but I can believe it. I've seen this so many times. Whereas last year when I hit 100,000, I was saying to everyone, I can't believe it. Like this is crazy and I can't even get my head around it. And this time I'm much more chill and I'm not like oh my God, it's like, this was always coming. Yeah. I've seen this a million times before it even happened.
Yeah. And I think there's a very big energetic difference between that, you know, putting this goal on a pedestal versus just being like, I knew I deserved this. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful it's here, yeah. But not like attaching so much to that manifestation. Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting approach, but I do think it's super powerful and not talked about enough. Yeah. And I also think something else that kind of ties in with that is, as you are up leveling your life, as you're reaching these goals, the people around you will also start reacting to these manifestations and to these things coming into your life. So how has that been for you with the people you surround yourself with? And how has that changed as you've gotten more serious about changing your life and manifesting all these different things?
Yes, I love this question. So when I was in university, I was doing content creation on the side, and I had maybe like, I think I started university, I got like 10K on Instagram, then I was like maybe on 20, 30K by the time I graduated 3 years later. And I had such an amazing friendship group around me. They were truly just great people. Still have so much love for them to this day. But one thing I noticed back then, which is different to my life now, is let's say I just hit 20K or I just got in a little collab with a brand on Instagram. And the conversation was, oh my God, that's amazing. Or, oh my God, you're killing it. And it comes from the best intention and best place. And I love that. However, as this continued and this was everything I was hearing and people thought that I was like winning in life, I thought, I'm just getting started. I'm just like, this is not impressive. This is me just taking my first few baby steps to where I want to get to. And everyone around me acted like it was this huge, impressive thing. And while that was so sweet, I thought it was holding me back because I got such praise for everything I was doing that it wasn't encouraging me to keep stepping forward. And it also instilled a little bit of fear in me that if I do get to where I want to go, how is it going to be received by everyone around me? Because they already think that I am doing such big things and everything is so out of the ordinary for where I am in life, that are they going to be intimidated or are we not going to align anymore? And so I graduated and I decided to distance myself from that environment and from those people and just take a step back to focus on my career on my own for a minute. And nothing bad happened. And I still love them to pieces. But during those 6 months of really trying to get to my goals, I just went tunnel vision. I isolated myself a little bit. And I truly think that that really helped me because then only my opinion mattered. And I was constantly comparing myself to my own potential rather than what everyone else around me was doing. Because if you are, you know, going outside of the box, let's say everyone around you is studying and you're like, I'm going to set up a business. Mm-hmm. You're going to think you're doing better than you actually potentially could because no one else around you is doing that thing. So instantly it seems more impressive, but really you could be doing so much better if you surrounded yourself with the right company. And that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah. Wow. I think it's really interesting because a lot of people, when they're going after their dreams or they're getting outside their comfort zone and doing these things that they want to be doing, they want external validation, mm-hmm. right? They want other people to say, I'm so proud of you. Go you. I support you, etc. And I definitely have felt that before. And I think something that I've really worked on is validating myself and being like, oof, I'm so proud of you. Or like, you go. Or like, yes, like doing a little celebration dance when you like hit a manifestation or attract a certain opportunity that's really awesome and that you're grateful for. But I never actually thought about how people validating you a lot could be something that holds you back.
Yeah.
I think that's a very unique perspective because I never thought of that before. And I think ever since you first said this to me, I have started to think a lot about that. Like, how much am I relying on other people saying they're proud of me? And could that potentially be holding me back from dreaming even bigger and putting even crazier things in my vision board? And, you know, I feel like I have been also on such a journey to like change my life and manifest being a full-time content creator and doing this as my career and supporting people as a health coach and growing my own channel and like all these things. And I do think in the very, very beginning when I started sharing my life online and I started growing this business, no one really took it seriously. Like everyone kind of judges it before you're successful. And that was when for me, I was like, okay, you know what? I can't rely on other people saying they're proud of me and you go girl and you're going to do it because they don't see it yet. Mm-hmm. So I had to work really, really hard on validating myself and learning to parent myself and talk to myself in the way I wanted other people to talk to me. But as I've started to grow, and now that I do this full time, I've also hit some manifestations of my own. People have started to be like, oh my gosh, Carolina, you're killing it. Oh, it's so awesome that you're doing this, this, that. And like, kind of, as you said, like putting what I'm doing on this pedestal, or just being like, oh my gosh, like you're doing so amazing. Mm-hmm. And like, yes, I'm so grateful for the level of success that I'm at, but I also have even bigger goals. And I think I've even gotten to a place in my own manifestation journey where I was like, you know what? I'm actually really happy with where I am at. Like, how can I just like coast a little bit and just like keep it stable, or like keep pouring into it a little bit so that I can focus on like my wedding and all these other things. But I do think I'm feeling inspired to question that a little bit and be like, how am I purposely keeping myself small? Because I don't want to ruffle any feathers, or I don't want to make other people uncomfortable. So yeah, how did you navigate that?
It's so important, and it's not spoken about enough, that when people put you on a pedestal, it is uncomfortable because then you don't want to get higher than that, because they're already kind of putting you on this further step up. But surrounding myself with like-minded people has been such a huge game changer, because I've just recently written a book and they are so proud of me and they congratulate me and they're so supportive and loving. However, they're not like, oh my God, you're the best thing ever to happen. And I
made it.
You made it. Yes. Because I haven't made it. And they know that, because they know I've got so much more to achieve. I have so much more left in me, and they recognize that. And they also hold me accountable, and they know that I'm going to achieve more. And they are doing such amazing things in their lives that we inspire each other. And we always want to push each other to the next step while also congratulating each other on where we're at now. But you've got so much more. And yeah, I can't wait to see what you accomplish after that. Like, okay, you've written a book, next step,
what's next?
Like, number one bestseller, what about your second book? When I hit a million, the people around me mostly said 10 million next, and I was like, okay, well, I've just hit a million, let's celebrate that first, guys. But that was so reassuring to me, because they want to see me win and they are comfortable with me getting so much bigger. I think I've learned, not everyone, but a lot of people categorize the other people in their life in these boxes in their head, in accordance to their reality and what they're comfortable with. And the second that you outgrow that, or the second that you do something a little bit different, you're not in that box anymore. And then they feel like they don't know you, or they don't really know what your place is in their life anymore, because they put you in a category, or they grouped you in with other people in their life. And that makes them feel uncomfortable.
And then they want to bring you down almost.
Exactly.
To like match that old perception.
Yes.
Yeah. So what do you do when you start to realize that someone in your life is kind of doing that?
It's harsh, but I realize that person's not meant for me, because the people in my life, they don't do that. I don't do that with the other people in my life. I think growth is the most important thing in the world, and people should constantly be evolving and challenging themselves and stepping outside of their comfort zones. And if somebody is coming from a place of, this is the version of you that I am comfortable with, and they kind of have this expectation of you to stay that version, that's so dangerous for your own growth, because then you're going to be uncomfortable outgrowing it. And it's like, I want to see you change and evolve, and I want to stay with you on that journey, and I wish that you would have the same for me. So in that case, I would distance myself.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's hard to distance yourself from people though, and a lot of people struggle with that. It's like, okay, I realize this friend or this person might not be the most supportive, or that person might not be the one type of friend that's going to help me get to that next level. And so how do you get to this place where you're like, I love you and I will always care for you, but not including them as much in your life? Like, how do you navigate the potential grief that might come with that too?
Yeah, I think I spent a lot of time on my own when I was kind of in that middle phase of, I love you and you're always going to be my life and I can't wait to support you and everything you do. And I know they support me, but the mindsets just don't align as much, because we're just not in a similar place, or we're growing in different ways, in different directions. And that's absolutely fine. But I had to just take myself out of the picture a little bit. So not like thinking that this person was my number one person and we speak every single day, because the influence that the people that you surround yourself with, like your inner five people, is huge. And so I distanced myself to focus on myself, and I created my own inner five people. And I'm referencing the quote, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And so I would listen to a lot of podcasts and books that spoke about business or growth, or, you know, leveling up your life. And that started influencing my mindset for the better. And that was reassuring in times where I felt really lonely, because I felt like friendship came so easily to everybody else, and they all had this group. And I was like, I just feel like I don't fit in, or I'm on this journey by myself, and I find it hard to relate to others. And so I created my own relatable group. And I feel like because I really doubled down on that, I then attracted the right people into my life. And so I focus on spending more time with them. But also my alone time is always my number one priority as well.
Are you saying that you like energetically created in your head, like, these are the people I want to surround myself with, like before they physically came into your life?
Yeah. I did a lot of research on how to attract the right people into your life, because I was always already on the path of don't chase, attract. And I felt like I was chasing friendship for a long time. And I really sat down one day and I thought, where have my friendships been going wrong? Or like, if I had someone in my life and then it didn't end well, why was that? And I realized it was because I was coming from a place of need and attachment, that I would accept anyone into my life who liked me, when that's not a green flag. That's just, you know, you don't have to accept everyone in your life that likes you. And so I thought, let me detach, let me step back, and the people that deserve me and the people that I want will find me. And I found that I needed to be in this independent, detached headspace and matching the energy and the frequency of someone who would have those friends in their life. And I found that the people in my life now who are the kind of people that I have waited my entire life for just found me. It just happened in the most random of ways.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's fascinating because there are so many people that spend so much time, myself included, when I was younger, where it's like, how do I fit in? Mm. How do I have a group? Like, how do I just slot myself in and like have these people? And I think a lot of that ties in with like feeling lonely and then just wanting someone to fill that gap for you. But then what you're kind of saying is like, what about the joy of being different? Like, what about how cool it is to be unique and stand out?
That right there. Couldn't have put it better myself.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we were talking about how certain friends have an idea of you and how you fit in their lives based on that identity of you that they have in their head. And if you start expanding beyond that identity, it makes them uncomfortable. They want to kind of like bring you back down so that they like feel like they know you. Yeah. Because it can be uncomfortable to be like, oh my gosh, you've changed, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. For like a lot of people have a hard time processing that. Something else that I also want to pick your brain on, because you've talked about this on your podcast, on your YouTube channel, and I just think it's a really cool concept. It's the concept of being a high value woman. Mm-hmm. So first of all, what is a high value woman? Can you explain what that means?
I think there are so many different definitions out there on the internet, and I think I definitely have a unique perspective. But the way I like to look at it is separating yourself from the average person or from the average woman. Not that there's anything wrong with being average, but let's say you have higher goals for your life, or you want to go in a different direction. You want to step outside of the box. You want to prove your old self wrong. You want to see how far you can get, that type of vibe. But also, it doesn't even have to look like that. Like, that's for someone who's maybe career driven and like growth focused. A high value woman is someone who focuses on herself before other people. And it's, once again, a very average trait to look for validation in others. She pulls that into herself. It's a very average trait to chase a guy to pursue a relationship or chase a friendship. She knows it's going to come to her because she's focusing on herself and her energy and what she can bring to the table.
Yes. Yes. I love this. And I want to talk more about it. So can you share some tips on how do you start embodying becoming a high value woman? Or what are some things that you have done? I know you kind of already touched on them or hinted at them, but let's double click.
I think I'm always setting goals for myself to see how I can improve. I see myself as my biggest competition. So I hate to compare myself to others, because I think, one, not only is it going to breed this jealousy and negative energy and make you feel bad about yourself, but on the other side of that, it can make you fall into this place of comfort as well. Because if you are comparing yourself to others and everybody else is, you know, kind of staying in one place and you're trying something new and you're comparing yourself, you have this false sense of validation where you think you're doing so great when really you're not even matching your own potential. When if I compare myself to who I was yesterday, I'm pushing myself so much harder than I would if I was comparing myself to another person who's not on my life path and who doesn't have the journey that's laid out for me. So it's absolutely irrelevant. Oh, holding myself accountable always. So I like to use journaling for this, where not only will I document how my life has been going and the good things, but I really try to focus on the bad. And I think that the bad is actually a gift that a lot of people try to run away from, where it actually contains so much knowledge and wisdom on how you can improve and which direction you're supposed to go in. I think when you struggle, or let's say you've gone through a friendship breakup or your dating life isn't going great, that's trying to shine a light on a part of you that's a part of your shadow self, or that needs healing, or a part of you where like you need to change your approach in that sense. But we're like, this is bad and life is unfair and I'm going to run away from it. But no, pay attention to it. It's trying to teach you something. So I really try to look at that. So if I am in a social setting and I'm being triggered by someone talking or acting a certain way, why? You know, I'm not going to dismiss that and put that down as I just don't like that person. that might be the case, but first I'm going to pay attention to, why do I feel triggered? I should never be triggered by any person, full stop. What is this trying to show me? Because when you are triggered by someone, it's because they are reflecting something that you already have within you, but you have dismissed that part of yourself. So it's triggering that they are, just have it out in the open and they're confident with it.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a great example of pay attention to the bad parts, because that's where you can grow and that's where you can heal.
Yeah. The angle that I kind of take on this is embrace your shadow.
Yes.
Right? Because for so many people who are trying to work on their self-growth and to like become the best version of themselves and to love themselves more and accept themselves more, it's like you can't just accept the shiny parts. Like, you have to start accepting all of you and your imperfections and your triggers and the things that you usually tuck away neatly in the shadow so that no one sees it, so that no one stops loving you. But then instead, you have to be able to look at them and shine light on them so that you can change them and evolve from them. And I really think the triggered thing that you said, it's like, yes, we get triggered by people who either have things in them that they're shining brightly on and owning that you have within yourself and you're not fully owning. But it can also be that you get triggered by people because they are mirroring back to you some type of quote unquote flaw that you have or quality within yourself that you don't like. Exactly. Let's say like someone got angry at you and then it was really triggering, but you also struggle with your anger. That could also be reflecting to you that that's something you need to work on. And it could also be a trigger based on like your inner child a lot of the times, like a past wound or a past pain that you felt or past trauma. So yeah, the triggers are teachers.
Yes.
So absolutely. I think that's really important in integrating even in the approach of like to be a high value woman and to know your worth. You have to also understand that you are not perfect and it's okay to feel triggered, but like look at those triggers. Don't just be like brush it off.
Yes. That's when your confidence grows as well. And that's when you start thinking, okay, how can I grow and how can I improve?
Yeah, exactly. And what are some habits that you have in your life now that you didn't have before that have helped you reach your success or that helps keep your mindset in tip-top shape?
My favorite one that I've been doing for a while now is having a slow morning routine. That I feel like really helps me stay consistent, because sometimes I would wake up in the morning and I'd be like, I have so much to do today. And you wake up and it's like, if the first thing you're going to do is get ready and then jump into work or jump into your tasks, every single day becomes so mundane. And now I flipped it to, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to bring some joy into my life and I'm going to take it super slow, or I might read a book or I might call a friend. And that way you wake up with the best possible energy and you go into your day a little bit slower. And I found that it lessens my procrastination as well, because I got my me time in the morning. And linking in with that, slow productivity I love as well, where you actually start honoring your needs and where your body is at every single day. I fell into the trap of treating myself as if I was a robot and feeling bad about myself if I didn't work as hard one day as if I did the other day. And if I wake up and I'm a little bit slower, I feel tired, my brain is a little bit foggy, that's fine. We're gonna roll with that. Maybe I'll just do 1 hour of work in the morning, 1 hour of work in the evening, and rest in between if that is truly what I need, because it means I'm still showing up for myself every single day. I'm not giving up, but I'm showing up for myself in accordance to the capacity I have. And if you wake up and you feel bad about, I don't have the same ability that I always do, then you're gonna quit and then you're gonna feel bad about yourself. And then it's been 3 days and you haven't worked towards your goals.
Yeah.
I think it's showing up for yourself without that need for perfectionism has been really important.
Like meeting yourself where you're at. And I think there's this quote, I don't know exactly how it is, but it's kind of like, if all you can give on a certain day is 30% and you give 30%, you gave your 100%.
Yes, exactly that. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else?
Stepping outside of my comfort zone, because I feel like that shows up in my confidence and in every other area of my life. So it could be super unique. Like last night, I literally went to a bar in New York City by myself and I just started speaking to people and it was so fun. And that doesn't just translate to, okay, now my confidence in social environments has increased, but that increases what I like to call my portfolio of proof, which is whenever I experience self-doubt, if I'm starting a business or starting a new project, okay, but what about this every other time that you thought you weren't able to do that thing, but you did do it. So it's like this mental file and this mental folder of, you used to think you couldn't do that, but then you did it. So why can't you do the same about this thing? That's really helped me and like push myself constantly.
And is that just like a mental folder or do you write them down?
Right now it's a mental folder, but oh no, I do film and take pictures of a lot of things. So I guess I have my little digital documentation.
Visual diary.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's so important. It's just like reminding yourself of like, I can do hard things. And like, look, you've done all this before. Who says you can't do this other hard thing? Exactly. And I also think a lot of the times, even with fitness, that's something that activates this for me as well. It's like, okay, I'm going to set myself out to do a half marathon. I did it. Mm-hmm. Like, I set myself to do it. You did it, girl. Or like lifting weights. Like, it's a physically difficult thing to do. So when you're able to do that, you're like, oh, I can do hard things.
There you go.
You're signaling to your brain that you're strong.
Yes. And then lastly, I would say this is a little bit more of a niche one, but I recently hired a team. And I think when you're a business owner or when you're in this space, it can be a hard decision to make because you're like, well, I can do everything. And I started off being all parts of the business and I loved being every part of the business, like filming and editing and planning and all of that. But it got to the point where I realized I am hindering my growth by trying to be in my business rather than working on it. And the quality of my work is going to suffer if I don't just delegate. And by doing that, you know, this can be different to everyone, whether it's like just asking for help in your life or reaching out to a friend or networking with other people and actually asking people for their knowledge rather than trying to take everything on yourself all the time. With me and hiring a team, it hasn't meant that, oh, now I can just take loads of time off. It means now I have the time and the capacity to take a step back and think, how can I improve this?
Yeah,
which is exactly why I grew in the first place, which was strategizing, not waking up every single day in a survival mode of, oh my God, I have to film or I have to be at this event or I have to go to this meeting. Now I have time to think, how can I provide more value and how can I improve this? Or how can my video be better? And how can we improve this to resonate with people more, to get more views?
Yeah, and I think that kind of speaks to the power of doing less a little bit at times or like focusing your energy on less and then getting help for the rest and then being able to grow. Because I even feel that a lot as well, where it's like hiring a team has helped me so much too, like having a podcast editor and like bringing on an assistant or like having an accountant or having a talent manager, like different things and different people around you that can help you with the things that you don't, it's not really your forte. It's like not really your full area of like genius, so that you can spend your time doing the things that you do best and then all the rest can keep growing at the same time.
I love that.
But it's hard to like decide actively like, okay, I'm gonna invest in this and like change it. And aside from hitting a million in on YouTube, which is freaking incredible and I'm really proud of you, but 10 million is X. Aside from that, what are some of the manifestations that you are most proud of?
Another super recent one was taking my first class flight. So I remember I put that on my vision board in January and I was like, I do not know how I'm gonna do this. Like, I would not be able to do this right now. I have no idea. And I remember I was like, am I gonna make this happen in this year? Because giving yourself 12 months for all of these goals is a little bit daunting. And I thought, I'm gonna put it on there and I'm gonna look at it and I'm gonna try and see it with abundance and I'm gonna hope for the best. But also I was detached in the fact that if this doesn't happen, that's fine. Like, I'm fine without it. It's really not important. And then I flew here on first class and I will be flying back today on first class. So that was great. What else? New York City. Yeah. The one place I've wanted to travel to my entire life. I am literally here right now. I put that on my vision board in January. And then also I put pictures of my family. I put pictures of my boyfriend because yes, I already have those things, but it's also about growing my relationship with those people and making more time for them. And I really feel like I stepped back into that this year. Last year I was so like grind mode work and I wasn't seeing my family as much as I would have liked to, and now I feel a lot closer with them as a result, so that's been really, really nice. A million. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, I did my first solo trip to like a resort. I wanted to go and just sit by the beach and do some work and relax and have some self-care rather than having to explore or do a city break, which is what I usually do. I put that as an intention and on my vision board, and I did that a few months ago as well.
That looked awesome.
Thank you.
It was Greece?
It was Cyprus.
Cyprus.
Yeah.
So amazing. Fun. It looks beautiful. Yeah, I'm so proud of you and I can't wait to see everything that you do next. And I was just reflecting on the fact that like last time you came on the pod, which I want to say was the very end of 2022 or beginning of 2023, and we were talking about confidence and like how do you differentiate inner confidence and external confidence, and I feel like you've just like completely stepped into that and owned that in like the most awesome way, and I'm always so inspired by you and I love being friends with you. So thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Let's do a little rapid fire question round to close it out.
Let's do it.
Okay, first question. Do you have any books that you would recommend to anyone listening?
The Courage to Be Disliked. Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod really helped me get my morning routine in order and helped me start on the highest vibration. Can I keep it to those two?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, perfect. Next question. What does inner growth mean to you?
Showing up better than I did yesterday. I am my only competition.
What makes you feel like your higher self?
When I am in a situation and I realize that I'm dealing with it better than I would have before, and I am coming at situations or things with a newer energy, and I'm not falling back into old patterns.
Like taking a step back and being like, whoa,
yeah,
old me would not have reacted this
exactly.
way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's powerful. And do you have a quote or a mantra that you love or that you live by or come back to frequently?
You know what? I've never been a big quote person, but there was one that really resonated with me when I was like 10 years old. And so when people ask me this question, it's the only thing that's ever in my head. But I'm never someone who lives by that. But I will say what it is. I'm pretty sure Audrey Hepburn said it, but don't quote me on it. And she says, nothing is impossible. The word itself says I'm possible because of the way it's spelled. And that really like hit me when I saw it when I was younger. I was like, whoa. Yeah. So I think I've always looked at things like that. Like anything can happen and I can make anything happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. That even your like inner child. Like,
yeah. She's like,
I like this one.
Yeah.
Okay. Last question. If someone didn't hear anything from this episode except this, what would you want to leave them with?
Oh. I think the most important thing is that other people's validation can hold you back and it can make you fall into a pit of comfort and stagnancy that will hold you back from your own potential because a lot of people need you to make them feel more comfortable. So focus on validating yourself instead.
Yeah. And I love that we touch on that on this episode because a lot of people seek that validation so badly. Mm-hmm. And then when they start receiving it, they kind of take that foot off the gas. They're like, I made it.
Yes.
I got what I wanted. But deep down, you have to reframe success and reframe how you feel about validation and realize like, yeah, it's amazing to be validated. And like, I love words of affirmation as a love language, but it's like, you can't have that be the only reason that you feel motivated to do something.
It actually links into, I think it's like a psychological thing that I heard, which says, if you are working on something, or let's say you want to go to the gym or lose a certain amount of weight, don't tell anybody before you've done it. Because just you saying, I have started this business, or I've got this idea, or I'm going to go start going to the gym. Just you saying it and seeing someone else say, well done, that's really cool. It satisfies this part of your brain that you have the praise for it already. And it means that you're less likely to go out and actually do it.
So true.
So there you go. And it just links into all of the validation stuff we said. So
yeah. What a great way to close the episode out on. So thank you again. I'm so grateful for you. And I will have everything linked below. But can you plug yourself and tell anyone listening who, I don't know how, but isn't following you yet, where they can find you and get your book and all of the above?
Sure. So I am at Tamkaur on all platforms. That's T-A-M-K-A-U-R. I recently have written a self-love book. It's called Buy Yourself the Damn Flowers, and it's available to pre-order right now on Amazon. I also have a podcast with a bunch of exclusive self-help content. Carolina was actually on it recently. It's called The Self-Obsessed Podcast, streaming on Apple and Spotify. And I also have two YouTube channels, so check them out.
Amazing. I'll have all that link below. I'll include the episode of The Self-Obsessed Pod that I went on recently also in the description because it was such a good conversation. And thank you again. Thank you to everyone listening. I love you guys. I hope you have an amazing rest of your day. Don't forget to subscribe if you're watching on YouTube and hit the bell icon on Spotify so you can be notified of future episodes. And don't forget to water yourself and take care of yourself until we chat again next week. Bye.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.